First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday. Dow Erickson, Aaron Feely. And on the mic with us today is Jeremiah Jensen, KSL and KSL.com and KSL Sports and, well, the sports guy for the Wasatch Front. Isn't that fair to say, Jeremiah Jensen?
I qualify, I guess, so I'll take it.
It's pretty awesome stuff. Remember back, I remember back when we were in kindergarten together. Who would have thought, right? You know?
Kindergarten. Dal, how many years ago was that?
More than 40.
1982.
Yeah, it's been a while.
That's why I ask. 40 years ago, we were in kindergarten.
Crazy stuff.
We're getting old.
Yes, especially me. you're aging quite well, I think, so nicely done.
Well, I got four kids. I'm hiding it.
Well, I only have two, so what's my excuse? But
I can't answer for you.
We're really thankful that you're on the show today, and I guess I want to start off with, well, bowl season is kicking off this weekend, and the BYU Cougars, a team that you cover regularly, they are one of the first teams out of the gate. They're in Albuquerque. I'll be honest with you, Jeremiah. I think this is a really intriguing matchup, and I don't know. You kind of have certain opinions of certain bowls. I've been to the New Mexico Bowl a couple of times. I looked at this and I thought, you know, in some other year, BYU SMU would be like a bigger bowl than it is, but that's a pretty darn good matchup for the New Mexico Bowl, I think.
I agree with you, and I think BYU fans in their current situation, you know, moving to the Big 12 and playing a lot of Power 5 teams in their schedule, you know, if you're playing a bowl game against a group of five, it's really hard for people to get psyched up about it, right? That happened last year with UAB in Shreveport, Louisiana. Nobody wants to travel to Shreveport.
Nope.
The matchup was sexy. Exactly. They're trying to get out. And trust me, I went there last year. And the players don't even want to be there. It felt like last year. So this has a different feel to it in the sense that the New Mexico Bowl is fine. You guys have been there. Wyoming's been there. I've been there with both BYU and Utah State. Albuquerque does a great job. The food in Albuquerque is great.
Yes.
You hope for mild weather, all that kind of stuff. But what you're really intrigued about here is the matchup. Bowls are bowls, you know. And for BYU fans, it's 7-5, that rough October. It's tough to get psyched up and excited about a bowl game at this point. But when you look at the matchup, SMU is about as close to a Power 5 team as you can get without being one at this point. SMU being mentioned as a potential expansion candidate in just about every scenario that's left, including the Pac-12. So you look at SMU, it's a very exciting team. They play a high-octane offense. There could be a lot of scoring in this game if BYU's offense shows up. Now, that's going to be the question. You know, will Jaren Hall play? It doesn't look very good right now. So who knows what to expect from BYU offensively. We know they're not good defensively. But because of that, I think this game's going to be a track meet. And so if you like a lot of points and you like the matchup and you like the history as well, going back to the 1980 Holiday Bowl, BYU-SMU is about as fun as you can get for a bowl game at this point.
Yeah, and obviously we just talked about it a second ago. Us fans still have a consideration that a bowl game's a bowl game. But one thing that's definitely been affecting them recently has been transfer portal and NFL draft. It feels like in the last, 5 to 10 years, it's become a bigger thing that players sit out their bowl games. As far as you can tell looking at this game, what is the transfer portal and the upcoming NFL draft, what kind of effects do you foresee that having on this one? Any players that stand out immediately?
Well, for BYU in this game, I mean, you look at quarterback immediately, right? So if Jaren Hall can't play, Jacob Conover's gone. He's in the transfer portal. He's already committed to Arizona State. So you're digging deep into the depth chart for quarterback. Cade Finnegan, I believe, is the next in line to start a transfer from Boise State. So right there, right out of the gate, you have a team that's impacted by the transfer portal in their bowl game. One of the first bowl games to be played. BYU, I believe, has a total of 7 transfer portal players. Keenan Peely, one of their best defensive players, jumped in the portal last week. So BYU shorthanded even more so than they were during the regular season, and they got hit pretty hard by injuries. So, yeah, the transfer portal is having a huge impact on this game. It's having a huge impact on every game, and this is just how it's going to be. When that regular season ends, these guys are going to jump in. It's transfer portal season, and, you know, I would think it's not going to affect the big bowl games, but we're seeing this year that Jackson Smith and Jigba from the Ohio State Buckeyes, one of the best receivers in the country, is sitting out a college football playoff semifinal to get ready for the NFL draft. So it doesn't matter how big your game is. This is a trend that's going to continue. these players are, they're in college to go play in the NFL. And when the season's, regular season's over, the NFL becomes the priority. So, this trend is not going to change. It's just going to intensify. As for the transfer portal, unless the NCAA gets involved and tries to curb this in some way, this is just how it's going to be. It's transfer portal season. As soon as that regular season ends, some teams will benefit, some teams will get harmed. I look at Wyoming and how badly they were harmed last year and even probably this year too. So, this is just how it's going to be from now on.
Well, Aaron and I are big proponents of making picks and predicting outcomes. So we're going to make you do that here with some of the teams that you cover. So BYU and SMU, they kick it off on Saturday in Albuquerque. Who you got and what's your score?
I think SMU wins. I just don't, without Jaren Hall, I'm not sure BYU can keep pace with SMU. But it's going to be high scoring. I'm going to go 49-38.
Wow.
Come on, Dan.
That would be absolutely fun.
I get all this crap every time I pick against one of my teams on a pick'em.
He's a professional. Jeremiah has no team.
See, I know my audience, and I'm still picking against him.
Yeah, he's still going to get yelled at.
State of BYU right now. I was at the Shreveport Bowl last year. I know what to expect from BYU in a bowl game that doesn't matter.
And as you mentioned, if Jaren Hall plays, and you know that's a different thing, but there's, you know, like you said, it sounds pretty questionable. And
Yeah,
let's be honest. We have no idea. We have no idea what's going to happen there. But so I credit you for just taking off the – you're not even wearing the goggles. Good for you.
Just angered a lot of people, that's all.
At least a dozen or so. I don't know. Utah State, let's talk about the Aggies a little bit and their game and kind of go on from there.
I think Utah State's going to have some juice in this game. And you know, latest I've heard is everything's good. I mean, there's not a lot of injury issues. You saw Utah State close the year really strong. When you consider their 1-4 start, the fact that they got to a bowl game is positive, and I think you're going to see some positive energy out of the Aggies. They're going to want to be there for that bowl game, and I'm not sure Memphis does. So I'm going to give Utah State the edge. I think they pull that one out. Let me go 24-21.
Jeremiah, your thoughts on Utah State in terms of, you know, they won the conference last year, came out of nowhere, had a really kind of a storybook season. This year, a little bit more back down to earth with some injuries, some tragedies, some things like that. I still feel like they got the right guy. That's the head coach there. But what are some of your impressions with the Aggies and moving forward into his third year?
Yeah, boy, it was a dramatic year. Head coach Blake Anderson was dealing with the death of his son, which wasn't easy. Their athletic director left midseason, resigned. That was weird. The school president is even stepping down. So there's a little bit of that kind of stuff going on, you know, behind the scenes. And then you look at, you know, some of the other situation. There's another issue that is very too complicated for me to explain right now. But let me just say that Utah State has some off-field issues that they were dealing with throughout the season. Yet this team dug deep and found a way. I think there's some good leadership on that team. I think that they have a lot of talent. I mean, you had a lot of guys come back from that bowl game last year. Cooper Legault, one of them, who led them to a win in that bowl game. But, you know, they started out, their quarterback got hurt and wasn't healthy to begin with. And so the play at quarterback wasn't good. And once they made the switch and made some changes at there, the team kind of took off. And they've got some athletes. They got some players. And I just give them credit for digging deep and, you know, overcoming some of the other stuff that was going on. Blake Anderson is a fantastic football coach. To lead that team to a conference championship last year was nothing short of amazing. And give him credit, despite some of those things going on and, you know, off the field, he was able to get this team to rally and get to a bowl game. So yeah, Blake Anderson is the guy, as long as I can't see the new athletic director making a change once they made that the permanent selection of the athletic director. There's still some things to sort out there, but, Blake Anderson has done a terrific job there, and this year's no different. Not quite the season they had hoped, but when you look at where it was, after September, they're in a pretty good position.
Well, you mentioned schools that didn't have the season they had hoped, but maybe on the other end of the spectrum, obviously also University of Utah had at the beginning of the year kind of some aspirations to potentially make a playoff push. Unfortunately, dropped a couple of close games they probably shouldn't have, but still finished strong enough that they're going to play in the Rose Bowl. They're going to take on Penn State. They beat USC twice. And as a Notre Dame fan, that was beautiful. Thank you, Utah. You beautiful state, you. Take us through some of your thoughts about their matchup against Penn State.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Utah's season was a roller coaster. It was something. Yeah, I was on that train in the off season. They brought a lot of guys back from last year's team that took Ohio State, or gave Ohio State all they wanted in the Rose Bowl, won a Pac-12 championship, and you thought, okay, this team's loaded. You look at the schedule, it was favorable. If they could get that opener against Florida, this team could go on a college football playoff run potentially. And they blew it right out of the gate. They lost to Florida. And then not long into the conference schedule, they lost to UCLA, and you're thinking, oh, boy. And then they had everything on the line still. They were still in the mix, and then they lose at Oregon and didn't play very well. And you thought they were done. Somehow, some way, four things happened the last regular season weekend, and they found a way to the Pac-12 championship game, and then they slaughtered USC, who was the team that actually had the shot at the college football playoff. So that's their season in a microcosm. I could go on for 30 minutes about their wild ride, but ultimately they're back-to-back Pac-12 champs. They've got a lot of recruiting momentum. They're everything's positive with the program right now. And now they're facing a Penn State team who's ranked 11th, who's only two losses are to Ohio State and Michigan. But then on the other side of the spectrum, who have they beat? So the Big Ten was not great this year. So all of a sudden the Utes are in a Rose Bowl, which is awesome for them. And it looks like they have a chance to win this game. Obviously, they're going to be shorthanded. Clark Phillips has declared for the draft. He will not play in the Rose Bowl. Dalton Kincaid has done the same thing. He had an injury that prevented him from playing anyway. So two of your best players, arguably your two best players of the entire season, will not play in that game. But Penn State has some guys that are out as well, so it'll hopefully even out for the Utes. And they've got a great chance to win this football game, and that'd be quite something to go back-to-back Pac-12 championships and then come away with a Rose Bowl trophy this season. That's a program that just continues to take another step each and every year and get better under Kyle Whittingham. And they're enjoying a historic run and one for the ages as far as Utah football goes.
It's a big trophy. I think the fans would like it.
Yes.
Jeremiah, I've read some different things, and it's all just hearsay, obviously, but as someone who gets to work with the program on a close basis every year, every season, every week, what is your what's your opinion of Kyle Whittingham and his future there at Utah? Is he gonna stay there for another good piece, or is he kind of winding down? Like, you just all the things you just said, it seems like it would be kind of an odd time to step down, or would it? You know, you're leaving things as high as you could.
Yeah, Dal, you're hitting. This is the question that we're all asking behind the scenes, and I think Utah fans are asking: is how much longer will Kyle choose to coach? And it's honestly up to him, 100%. I mean, he's reached that status that he gets to decide when it's time to step down. And you know, I've covered Kyle since the very beginning. My first year at KSL was his first year running that program, and man, what a journey it's been for him. And the amazing amount of growth that he's done as a head coach to get to this point now where you could argue he's one of the five best college football coaches in the entire country. I would make that argument, which is just incredible that Utah has his stability and his leadership for so long. And it's why they're in this position that they're in. And it's nobody wants to go through transitions when you have one of the top five coaches in the country, right? So it's a day that everyone wonders about. When is it coming? And just my observations, I've heard nothing. I don't know where Kyle's at with that, but last year was extremely taxing. Having two players pass away during the calendar year was very, very difficult for that team. But at the same time, they went on this magical run to a Pac-12 championship. This year, they had a lot of ups and downs again. I've often looked at Kyle as like, he just seems a bit weathered, maybe a little tired, but you know, a lot of coaches go through that grind, right? But then I see him after winning this second Pac-12 championship and he looks invigorated and energized. So I don't really know where he's at with that. I do know that his priorities have changed as a person. He's got grandkids. He's got a lot of things he's looking forward to in the next chapter of his career. And even when he steps down, he'll still be able to be around the program in an advisory role that's already been established in his contract. So when will he decide? I don't know. We all wonder each and every year. You think if you got it rolling like this, and they're killing it in recruiting right now, you got to think he's going to want to see this out and see how far it can go. And maybe that's what keeps his energy going, is this the continued growth and success of the program. But, guys, it's a fair question, and we ask it every single year. There's going to be a day when he decides it's enough. And for Utah fans, it's going to be a sad day because it's been a remarkable ride.
Did we get your pick, Jeremiah, on that one?
I got to go with that, too. Let me wrap that up with Utah 38, Penn State 31.
I like the way you pick. You're a point scoring some buck. I like that.
Utah has been in that 35 range all year in most of their games, and I think they're going to get it done. I don't think their defense is going to be as good in this game because they're missing Clark Phillips. If they find a tight end or somebody to step up in the pass game as a receiver, then they'll be just fine.
Which is so anti-Utah of them, isn't it? Traditionally speaking, they're suddenly
this, I know, right?
Massive
you're not
offensive
used to the
power.
Utes racking up points. This is why they've taken the next step, guys. I mean, there's some seriousness in what you're saying. Is they used to struggle offensively. They were in every game defensively, but they could never get over the hump and win the Pac-12 because they just didn't have enough offensive firepower. I think they scored 7 points in a Pac-12 championship game against Washington 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, the difference now is they finally got the offense to pair with that great defense. And so now you got this well-rounded juggernaut, and that's where they're at right now. The offense under Andy Ludwig has just been phenomenal, and Cam Rising has done a great job at quarterback as well. And that's another question. Will he be back next year? We don't know yet for sure, but that'll determine what their success is next year as well.
Jeremiah Jansen with KSL. And, Jeremiah, we're spoiled that you're willing and able to come on with us when we ask. We appreciate that very much and appreciate your insight as we head into the bowl season, a.k.a. one of the most wonderful times of the year.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me on. It's always good to come on and say hello to everybody back in Star Valley. Those of you that still remember me, those you know who you are. Love you guys, and hope everyone as well.
Jeremiah Jansen, KSL. Thank you very much, JJ. Have a good one.
You got it.